I'm going to give you my best effort tonight. But before we do, we're going to pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for tonight. Father, we just thank you that you're willing to show up, Father, for us. And Father, I just pray that we just give you all we have tonight, Father, that you'll just open our ears to hear what you have to say, Father, and that this word can just be received and taken into our bodies as something that we can use to impact the world. We love you and we thank you. It's in your sweet and holy name we pray. Amen. So I really, when I teach, I really never have a good idea of how I want to start. So I'm just going to kind of go back to, Sydney's kind of been challenging us over the last few months about our story. Do we have a story to tell? And so I'm going to back up just a little bit to probably spring of 2013. And I think you guys will identify with parts of this as we go through it. But spring of 2013, my daughter's getting ready to graduate high school. I'm a softball coach. You guys, a lot of you guys know that. Some of you may not, but I coach. And she played for me. And through the years, I'd always said, when she finishes school, I'm done. I'm not going to coach anymore. I've coached everybody else's kid. I've coached mine. I'm done. Well, then a little bit later in the spring, in May, the Lord brought me this little boy. And he came from some brokenness, and I knew he was going to be ours. And so, and it's a terrible thing, but when I needed the money to coach that I get from coaching. I coach at Carrollton, and I get paid pretty well to coach, and I needed that money. And so, because we were going to pursue adoption. And so I didn't stop coaching. And then we have him. It's hard. You know, it's a hard dynamic to have a new one in your house. You think you're kind of done raising kids, because my youngest at that time was 16. And so it's kind of hard. And so as I thought about it, I said, well, I'm going to keep coaching. And I started the season, and it was average. And for most of you guys that know me that are in here tonight, I don't like average. And it was, you know, we had a 500 season. It was just awful. And I didn't enjoy myself. It was just hard. I had a new little boy. We're trying to, you know, break some things from his life and incorporate him in our family. But at the same time, there was a lot of joy in all of that process as well. And but my season was average, and so I really knew I needed a change. Something had to give. I was almost felt disconnected. And I don't even know if everybody really knew, maybe not even my own family, and maybe not even Lori knew how hard that season was. And as I felt a little disconnected. And I knew the Lord was still there. But I needed something to help change me, because I wasn't all in. And so we talk about a word a lot. Sydney's talked a lot about his word for this year, and through the years we've had these words. And beginning of 2014, I knew my word needed to be devotion, because I needed to be more devoted to my relationship with the Lord, more devoted to my family as this dynamic had changed. And then if I was going to coach, I needed to be more devoted to that process. And as I little backstory, I wanted to share, because what the Lord was showing me as I was thinking about this over the last few days is being lukewarm doesn't let you win souls. And that's where I was. Lukewarm didn't allow me to make an impact or have an influence. Not like I'm called to have one. I was still doing okay, but it wasn't like I was called to have one. And so through that process, he began to show me some things that I knew there was more. I knew I was called to a higher place. I knew I was called to be set apart and to, I knew I had to respond to what he was telling me. And, you know, I wanted that for my house. I wanted that for my team, my classroom. I wanted that in every area. And as I began to think about that, it was kind of cool some of the things he was showing me. He showed me that during that season, I was kind of sprinkling. I was kind of, spitting a little bit, but I wasn't just an open flow into others like he called me to be, like I have been since, I feel like, or at least most days I've been that way. I remember in November of 2017, I taught a ladies meeting up here, and I'd said then, and I know some of you guys remember this, but I said, I don't feel like I'm enough. And a lot of that was birthed in this season I just kind of described. I didn't feel like I was enough. I felt like I had some fear. I had some different things going on, and I just didn't feel like I was enough in so many areas. And so when I taught in 2017 in November, I said, I'm going to go get that tattooed on me. You know, I am enough. Right? And my husband's like, no, you're not. You're not getting a tattoo. And so that process, that ladies' meeting began to break some things off of me. And I know it did a lot of others in here as well. And what the Lord was showing me over the last week is in that season, He needed me to trust Him and to delight in Him and to commit to Him. And all of a sudden, my verse became Psalm 37, 3 through 5. And it talks about, I'm going to read this to you out of the Passion. I printed it off today. I didn't have my Bible with me. This verse, it says, it's keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on His promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on His faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and He will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust Him along the way, you will find He pulled it off perfectly. He can pull it off perfectly when we just trust His process, even when it doesn't look like what we want to see. Trust that He's guided, even when it looks like chaos and turmoil. Trust His process, even when you feel like you're disconnected or lost in a season. And then if you'll just delight in what you do have. I had a six-year-old boy. I had a team full of girls. I had my home, my husband, my marriage. I had all those things I could take delight in. And then if I committed to that process and committed to that, then all of a sudden he could open that flow of water and have some impact in those areas again. And again, all that whole process of the spring of 2013, fall of 2013, wasn't bad. There was still some joy in it, but it was still hard. You go through some hard things. Anybody hadn't been through something hard is lying. It's hard sometimes. And that doesn't mean you love God any less. It doesn't mean He loves you any less. But at the same time, we can move away from Him to a certain degree, or we feel like we're moved away. And so that was that process He began to bring me back through. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Mm-hmm. And so, sure.
One thing that I love about the scripture that Lisa just read is, she said that she felt like she was disconnected and all that stuff. And in that psalm in the King James, he says that if you trust in the Lord, he says you shall dwell in the land. And what that means is that God's going to make a place for you. A lot of times we feel like we don't have a place. I don't have a place of influence. I don't have a place of connection. I don't have a place of identity. I don't have a place of whatever. And we feel lost and we feel uncertain and fear comes in on that. But in that psalm, he says that if you trust in the Lord, that he's going to make a place for you. And I know you guys got a lot of uncertainty moving forward. You know, uncertainty in the program, when you're out of the program, what's next and all of that stuff. But if you trust in Him, He is going to make a place for you. All of us, because we get these different spots in our life. You know, whether it's I'm adopting a six-year-old, you know, son, I'm continuing my coaching career and doing this and this and this. And we've got to know that God's going to make a place for us. He's going to plant us there. And He's going to allow us not only to grow and flourish there, but to release the springs, the wells of water. One of the wells that when Jacob came in and began to redig the wells, one of the wells that are that Isaac, no, I'm sorry, not Jacob, but Isaac, when he came and began to redig the wells that Abraham did, and there was strife for him and all that stuff, but he kept doing it. And he kept up the process and kept trusting the Lord. And then he finally he dug another well, and there was no strife there. And he said, "The Lord has made room for us." That's what he named the well. And so I just think that's a key thing to throw out there on that, because it's applicable to you and it's applicable to all of us. Is God will make a, he'll make room for us. He'll make a place for us.
So as he began to help me make that room, I knew that I was supposed to have this kingdom impact. I mean, we get taught that every Sunday, every Wednesday. We're to have a kingdom impact. And I knew that was what was missing. And so I had to allow the Lord to kind of expand my capacity. I had to learn to trust and delight and commit again at the beginning of 2014. And as I began to do that, I started to see it pay off in little ways. And I really, the biggest difference for me was, as good as our word is in here every Sunday, I could come in here and feast every Sunday, every Wednesday, and get a good word. But I also had to figure out how to get it for myself. And that was really the biggest transition right there for me. That I learned, and it wasn't a bam, I got it overnight process, because I'd sat here for 10 plus years under the same leadership and really just got fat off what they fed me. But as I learned to help, and I was having impact and influence, but now I can see it's a deeper level. And to me, that's the biggest difference. It's a deeper level because it's coming from me, you know, because every Friday morning I get to stand in front of kids and impart to them. I get to have a ladies' Bible study that I can impart to those ladies. You know, and I feel like my influence even within this house has grown with the ladies here at times. So I feel like the Lord, and that's not to brag on me, that's to brag on the Lord. That's not anything I'm doing. That's what I've given him that access, and now he's flooding, those waters are flowing out. And so I didn't get I Am Enough, but I did get TDC, Trust, Delight, Commit. Okay, so now I have that permanent reminder. And it's almost like he's like, you didn't need it, but I like it, you know? Okay. So, so kind of with all that said, that backstory, this past fall, I reached a career milestone. I've been coaching for 29 years now, head softball coach for 22. So I reached a career milestone where I won a lot of ball games, and they gave me a plaque and said good things about me, right? And so one of the questions I kept getting asked was, what's the recipe for success? You know, how did you do it? Well, my husband says because he was my assistant. But, and that is true. I did, a lot of those wins are because of him, most of them. But really the keys, and this is coming from a sports analogy because I'm a sports girl, so a lot of you guys will understand this. But then I'm going to try to wrap it into the spiritual aspect of it. To be successful on the softball field, I've got to get my kids to buy in, okay? And to me, there's six things I need them to do. I need them to be able to throw strikes. I need them to be able to get a bunt down or sacrifice somebody over to the next base. I need them to throw and catch. I need them to be a great teammate. I need for them to get a timely hit. I'm going to forget one. A timely hit, and I need them to, hang on, sorry, I forgot one as I was naming them all. Oh, that's it. That's all of them. Five. Did I say six? Five. And when I say I need them to throw strikes, I want my kids to, my pitcher, to throw the ball, and I don't care if the other team hits it because my team behind me should catch it. They should be my community. They should be my support group. Okay? So as I'm continually pounding that zone as a pitcher, then if they hit it, we're going to make a play behind my... Same thing in here. We're going to go hard. Okay? We're going to go hard. And if I take hits, I've got a community behind me. I've got a Jesus behind me. More so than anything. And so we have to be on the offense. We have to be prayed up. We have to be full. And then if I take that hit, or if one of my community people take that hit, one of my pitcher takes a hit, then I'm able to come in alongside them and hopefully support that. When I say you have to be able to throw it to the person so they can catch it. I mean, you guys, some of you guys may be former athletes. I'm one. I'm a has-been. But when I was playing, I could throw it really hard. Okay? But I could throw it really hard, but if I threw it to Adam really hard and he can't catch it, we didn't get an out. You know, they just ran the bases. Sorry, Adam. Didn't mean to throw you in. Sorry. I knew Tana played. But if he can't catch it, we didn't get an out. Okay? If I'm out here spiritually and I'm throwing stuff out, but people can't catch what I'm throwing out for Jesus, they're not catching it. So I can know all the Bible in the world, but if they don't know I love them, they're not going to catch it. So we got to be able, spiritually, we got to be able to throw and catch. We got to meet people where they are. We've got to love them where they're at. We got to come alongside them when there's trouble. So we got to be able to throw and catch in the kingdom. The other one is sacrifice. And this is one of the things my team was the worst at this year. This drove me crazy. But sacrificing, and most of, I coach fast pitch softball, so most of the time that looks like I'm going to bunt to try to move that runner to the next base. Or I might hit behind the runner. I might hit a sack fly so they can score. I might get in the first and third pickle so my runner at third can score. There's a lot of different ways we sacrifice. Here, spiritually, we've already received the ultimate sacrifice because of our Lord, what He did for us. But then if I don't make a sacrifice to help move somebody to the next level, Sydney makes a sacrifice every week. James has been paying that price every week to bring us a great word. That's a sacrifice. And if we're not ready to move our teammates to the next level, or move them to the next base, move them ahead to the next deeper level, I told you guys, I sat here for 10 years and just feasted. And I was moving levels, but now all of a sudden I feel like I'm moving at a faster rate. And that's because He's continued to push and He's continued to press in. And I've been doing that as well. Being a great teammate. You know, we talk about this. You don't have to have any special talent. You don't have to be able to hit the 62-mile-an-hour fastball or the curveball. You don't have to be able to be the fastest. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to have the microphone in your hand. You don't have to be the one that sings. You don't have to do any of those things. What we have to do is celebrate each other. We have to be there. Piney passed away a month ago. You guys showed up for us. I can't tell you how overwhelming that was for us. We show up for each other. That's sacrificing something for somebody other than yourself, and that's helping you being a great teammate. We need more of those everywhere, in business, in schools, in classrooms. When I see my kids serving their teammates, celebrating their teammates, now I can't stand when they say good job when they've struck out. I can't stand that. Okay? I don't like that part. You just struck out. Good job. No, that was not a good job. Swing the bat, you know? And sometimes we get like that spiritual. We've got to swing the bat occasionally. That's the cardinal sin. I've seen him throw his hat when somebody took a third strike. Or clap really loud, one or the other. The last one was a timely hit. And what I want my players, there's going to be a time in the season when they come up to bat or they have to make a play. And they need to be good in that moment. We're going to have that same opportunity as believers. We're going to have that opportunity to come up in a moment. We're going to have that divine appointment. We're going to have that time when we're supposed to step up the plate. And that's when we get to be great in that moment. Somebody needs our encouragement in that moment. Somebody needs what we have in that moment. In time of sorrow, in time of weakness, in time of frustration, somebody needs what you have. And are we willing to give it to them? Be great in your moment. You know, and it's not always convenient to do that. But I think Sydney was talking about this the other day, about honor and how we have to honor the person, place, or thing in that moment and honor the moment. And if we can get to where we honor the moment and celebrate each other, I can tell you my last five seasons have been some of my most successful five seasons. Because there was that pursuit in the right way. And all of that was undergirded through trust, delight, commit. That's our team motto. I put that on almost every t-shirt we have printed. That's on my locker room wall, TDC. To trust, delight, commit. We trust our God. We trust our teammates. We trust coaches. And through that process, we've won some ball games. You know, Clemson won. Dabo Swinney was on our campus at Carrollton High School. And I didn't get a chance to meet him because I was really going to tell him how much I appreciated his witness for Christ. My team, I'm a Roll Tide girl, and they lost the national championship game. But I stayed up just to hear his post-game interview because I knew he was going to promote Jesus and talk about his Jesus, our Jesus. So I just stayed up to watch that. And I was licking my wounds because Roll Tide, we lost. Jalen Hurts is going to Oklahoma now. He was the backup quarterback this year after going 26-2. His witness was, I've overcome adversity. I've been a great teammate. I've sacrificed for my team. In my moment of the SEC championship game, I rose. He did all those things I just talked about this season. And there's such a lesson to be learned from that. So what is the recipe for success? I'm going to put some scripture on you now, I think, hopefully. Let's see if I can tie this in a little bit. I'm going to go to 1 Kings 17. Is that right? Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about Elijah. And this is the widow. Elijah just went and told King Ahab that there's going to be a famine. And right after that, the Lord sent him to a brook. And so everybody else was in famine, but he was doing okay because he had water. And he had ravens feeding him. But eventually, with the famine, that brook began to dry up. And when that brook began to dry up, you know, me, I was thinking, God, you sent me here. Why? The brook's drying up. There's no rain. Why are you sending me here now, God? But Elijah did something that most of us wouldn't. He stayed. He stayed. Most of us been like, I'm blowing this joint. I'm gone. But he stayed and waited for another word. Sometimes I want to move too quickly. It's not going how I saw it, God. Where are you? Well, he's still right there. He wants us to wait. And that's where we get caught up in not doing that. So he stayed. You know, he was feeling pretty good because he had that water. But then as it began to dry up, he waited for that word. We get what I'll just speak about me. Sometimes I think, my mind is saying, or my husband's saying, or the world's saying, you should get up and move, or you're going to die because you're going to thirst. But because of Elisha's relationship with the Lord, he knew he was still under that protective and that covering, and he stayed. And in staying, the next word came for him to go to Zarephath. Is that how you say it? Zarephath? And there was a widow there. And in this time, the widows weren't, I mean, they were kind of outcast. And we just had Christmas, right? How many of you guys had to put stuff together? I remember those days when my kids were little and I had to put stuff together. I know I got a picture of Sydney putting together a dollhouse for his little sweet little granddaughters. That was fun, right? Did you read the instructions before you started?
Absolutely.
Or did you just look at the picture on the box? You're an engineer. You probably did read the directions. Me or my husband, on the other hand, we don't always read the directions first. You know, that's a rarity. He knew he was being in trouble, that lady. He better follow directions. Well, we're not all like Sydney. I usually look at the box and, oh, I can do that. And then I invariably lose. I'm supposed to have an Allen wrench and I've got to you know, Phillips head screwdriver or something. So, you know, I'm always mixed up. But so you had the directions, okay? The instructions are usually important. Was going to be my point. Then he kind of blew it out of the water. Yes, I always do. So. Oh yeah. Okay. So. There you go. Yeah, I got you. Because you never know what your wife's going to bring home for you to put together for the grandkids is what it is. That's it. So, yeah, thank you, Adam. So you have these, there's some value in reading the instructions, I guess. Like I tell my husband I'm going to do some remodeling, and he's like, well, you know, it just takes time and money. And I'm like, I know, but I watch Fixer Upper and Chip and Joe get it done in an hour every time. Every time they get it done in an hour, right? And so he's like, he doesn't always appreciate my comments there, but... So as we get through this, he goes to the widow, and you know, and I think about it, this word this time looked different. You know, last time he was supposed to go to the brook and wait. This time he's supposed to go to the widow, and this is a lady that's outcast. So this time it looked a little different. What the Lord showed me in that was, you know, not this past Sunday, but Sunday before you guys were gone, and Luke had texted you in Utah about praying for Amanda. He didn't know you were in Utah. But what they didn't know is that we had James, whose sister had battled the very same thing. And to me, you know, the word looked different. We're expecting Sydney to show up on the scene, but oh no, we got James. And James, in that moment, was the right man. Absolutely. He was the right man because he knew from his experience and from the testimony of his sister that lupus didn't have any place. Didn't have any place. And so in that moment, in that word, the backup preacher was good. He was the best in that moment. He stepped into that moment and owned it. And there was some ministry took place. And we hadn't even had a song. We hadn't had a word spoken except we're going to pray. And Jesus got loose in here. And I'm going to tell you, somehow I ended up right in front of Amanda, and I saw her face, and it was unbelievable. There were things being broken off her, and she stepped in and claimed that healing. Now, there may be some more hard days, but she stepped in and claimed it. Then we had sweet little Linda Pike up here, and Linda Carter started praying over her. And I went home and told my husband, I hope I never forget the look on her face or her sweet voice praising our God and doing what He did in her that day. She was up here praying softly in tongues. Oh, don't ever let me forget this. I was crying with him when I got home that afternoon. My daughter was about to get engaged, and I was just a blubbering mess all day because of the goodness of the Lord right here before a song was ever played. We had all we needed. We had the recipe for success that day, that morning. All right, let me get back on here. Here's the thing. Elijah goes in. He says, give me some water. And then he says, make me some. I may mess this up a little bit. But then he says, make me some bread. And here she is. Well, I only have enough for me and my son. I only have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I don't have enough. But what she didn't know is she had all she needed. We walk around and we don't realize we have all we need. 2013, I didn't realize I had all I did know it, but I couldn't, in my mind, couldn't grasp it. I didn't realize I had all I needed. And so she goes in and makes the bread. And what she didn't know is why she's doing that. She's thinking she and her son are going to die because there's not enough. She didn't know what she had in her house. Do I always know what I got in my house? In my house, my temple? No, I don't. Sometimes I forget. But we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to forget. And when he goes in, obviously she makes the bread. He begins to eat. Then she and her son, they eat and eat and eat and eat. She's set free. In that moment. And this is an outcast now. And what happens when you let a woman get loose? You can let a woman get loose, guys. All of a sudden, there's other things that get set free. Not just a woman. I mean, I'm just using that because I'm up here. I got the mic tonight. You let a woman get loose, and all of a sudden, we got something. There's change that's going to happen. She had all the ingredients, but she didn't know she had a recipe for success because she didn't recognize what was there. So here, you know, she got a word, and I need a word. I just told you guys that. We all need words. And when we get a word, we can become dangerous. You know, she's thinking, you never think, I'm going to die. I don't think I ever got there necessarily in my mind, but I knew there was more. You know, and I think she'd got to the point where she maybe didn't see more. And there's people that I work with every day that have that same, there's people we all see that feel like, if I just had more money, or if I just had more time. You know, I waste more time that I can't get back. I wish I didn't waste as much time as I did. But there's all these people that we encounter on a daily basis that feel that way. They feel like there's no hope sometimes. And, you know, we have the ingredients, but we forget who's in charge of the end. And when we can realize that the ingredients are there, if we just go to Him and ask for that help, all of a sudden things begin to shake loose. So let me get back on my notes here. So here we go. You guys have all you need. I don't know how long some of you have been around the Blake House. I don't know how long you've been there, how long you have left. But you got all you need if you've said yes to Him. You've got all you need. When we say that yes, He gives us all we need to make it. And what we have to do is realize we got all we need. How are we going to use it? And when we do that, He begins to multiply it. When I feel like I'm running out of grace, He can multiply that grace in me. My husband thinks I need more of it most of the time. But He can begin to multiply that grace. He can begin to multiply forgiveness. He can begin to multiply our healings. I saw two down here. I promise you, I saw two healings. Anybody that was here that Sunday, y'all saw them? It was amazing to me. I promise you, when he can do anything He wants to do, if we're open to that. A lot of you, we've had past failures. Some of us have generational curses that we've had to break. Some of us have made bad decisions. I mean, I'm not just talking, I'm talking about all of us. I'm in front of y'all, I'm sorry. But I got some hands over here. So we've all had these things happen, but when you get a word, when He shows up on the scene, when we have the ingredients we need, all of a sudden, things can change. Things can change. And it keeps flowing. It keeps flowing. How awesome is that? That He just continues to give and give. And, it, you know, maybe, like, my dad died. But before that, he went to prison for part of my young adulthood. He missed my kids as they grew up. You know what? Those are things I've had to kind of overcome. And they could have locked me down. And I don't know all y'all's stories. I'm sure you got one. We all got one. But when we get to that point, what we have to do is assemble our ingredients. And when we can assemble our ingredients, that's where our impact, that's when our influence can take hold. All right, let me move on. What we forget is what we've got, what we need. And so often our worlds, our society, begs us to forget what we have. We forget what we have. And when we forget what we have, we forget how to use what we got. You forget how to use what you got, that's when you become like the widow who thinks, I've lost hope. That's why this community is so important. There were seasons where our kids played college ball. There's two. We've got a lot of people that have that. But one thing we tried to do was make sure when we were gone almost every weekend from February to June. But we knew we needed to come into this house on Wednesday nights and get what we could get, even if we were just feasting. But then there's also those times when we feast, and on Saturday and Sunday, we'd be praying for people that might have cancer. We'd be praying for marriages. We'd be praying for their kids who just got hurt. So you can still use what you got. It doesn't matter where you are. As a matter of fact, he tells us to use it out there. That's where we're supposed to go and take it. So when we have the ingredients for what we need, then all of a sudden we've got something going. You know, we forget that the Lord turned water into wine. And we forget some of those miracles from time to time because all we see are our circumstances. Or we get so distracted by the enemy. And it's in those distractions that, and I think that's where I was. I was distracted. I was thinking about all this process I had to go through. I was missing my Randy on the softball field. And I wasn't appreciative of what I did have. And in that moment, I had to kind of dig deep, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a fire in me. And before it was because of my passion for sports. But you know where it comes from now? There's a fire in me because of what the Lord's done. There's a fire shut up in my bones. And I think that's in Jeremiah. There's a fire shut up in my bones. And it's up to me, when that fire's stirred, to keep it burning. And when we don't keep that fire burning, when we don't keep that thing stoked, that's when we have those lulls where we get a little lost. So we can put the enemy on notice. We may be hurt. My heel may be bruised. But you know what my bruised heel can do? He can still step on that. I wish I had something to step on the enemy. James is always so good with his little things he brings out here to demonstrate. But I can take my heel, even though it's hurt, and I can stomp on that head of that serpent. And he has no more authority over me. He only has what I give him anyway. When I can get to the point where I trust the Lord more than I look at my circumstances, then I got something. When I can do that. Because there's a fire in me. There's a fire in me that burns to go out and have an influence. Now I look forward to having an influence. I want to have an influence. I want to have an impact. Whether that be on the softball field, whether that be coaches I meet, whether that be in my own home, my kids, my classroom, I want to have that impact. And that's what he's calling us all to do. You can't look at your circumstances. You can't look at where you are now. You got to look at where you want to go. There's a fire in all of us. I know all of us have been in places where we partied, where we've had a good time. We did the things Sharon's back there smiling. I like it. We've done things. But there's a fire in all of us that wants to burn. We've burned it for the wrong things too much. What an awesome God we serve to let it burn for Him. Let it burn for Him. Let Him burn away some of those things that are there. So when it's shut up in my bones, I've got to the point where I've got to release it. And now, instead of spitting on everybody, it's just like... Whoosh! And you know what I found? One of the terms, let the game come to you. And it does. You get on fire, and it comes to you. Lori texted me last night, so I am shot. We did duck hunt in the morning, did ministry in the afternoon for an hour and a half, didn't get a nap, went back to duck hunt, got back, talked to the guy that has 18 employees here, invited them to church. She said, I'm just, whew. But wasn't it good? You're tired. I can see it in your eyes. You're tired. Can't wait to get in her bed tonight. But you know what? That fire shut up in her bones wouldn't let her take a nap. Nor would her type A personality husband. But it's good. It's good because there's a fire in us that burns so we can share Him with others. And I feasted a long time here. And I went out and sprinkled things. But God, it's so much more fun. So much more fun when you let your fire burn. I can't even tell you how much fun I get to have sometimes. And so, when this fire's here, here's what can't stay. Fear can't stay. Anxiety can't stay. It can't. Hopelessness can't stay. It has no place. It can't stay. You have all of these things that are all of a sudden burning away. There's going to be some smoke and there's going to be some Holy Ghost rolling. And for me, that's what I want. I'm nearing the end of my career right now. But I'm not leaving it. Because I've still got some stuff to do. And here's what I've learned through this tonight. I knew I wouldn't be too long. But what we've got to learn, I think, and what I'm slowly learning, and I'll just throw myself under the bus here, what I'm slowly learning is that there's some things that have to be displaced. You know, I think the new little catchphrase is we have to create space. And as I create more space for Him, and I chunk stuff on that out of here. Y'all remember that Sunday we had the fire alarms going off because we burned a bunch of stuff? Y'all wouldn't believe it. We had all these different vices or all these different sins. We started writing them on paper and setting them on fire up here. I don't mean to scare y'all, but that happened. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people left free that day. So as we start chunking those things in there and we start letting those things burn away, all that junk that we're burning gets replaced by His fire. And when we have His fire, some things have got to go. It can't stay. They can't coexist. And so when all that stuff's gone and we start getting on fire, it's almost as contagious as Sharon's laugh. It's a good laugh, Sharon. I like it. And when we start doing that, and we take our word, my word for 2014 was devotion, then it became intentional, then it became significant. You know, when I wanted to be intentional, it used to be if somebody said, "Hey, will you pray for me?" "Yeah, I got you, girl, I got you." But you know what? It became intentional. It said, "Come on, let's go pray." And we did it then. We declared things over them then. We released stuff then. We killed stuff then. We put the fire in them then. And when we do that, we become intentional. We become significant. We get that new word to believe. We have to believe I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We have to believe that greater is He in me than He's in the world. We have to believe I can do all things through Christ. And when we can grab hold of those and do those things, I'm telling you, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. I think. I'm having fun anyway. And you know, when I'm having fun, people want to know, because the first thing that attracted me about her, she had fun. We would have gotten a lot of trouble in high school if we'd known each other then. We still get in a little trouble. But we would have gotten in trouble because she was fun. And that's what, first of all, attracted me to that was fun. And then all of a sudden, it was like, let me tell you about my Jesus. Not even tell me, let me show you. Let me show you my Jesus. Let me show you that I live in peace. Let me show you I have joy. Let me show you that I have grace. Let me show you that I have hope. Let me show you I have a plan for your life. Let me show you that greater is He in me than he that's in the world. Let me show you that. We don't have to. I don't think any of you guys have ever been hit over the head with a Bible in here, have you? Not yet. You've just been shown love. You've been shown compassion. You've been shown, "Hey, Dad, how's it doing? How you doing?" Right? That's what you guys have been shown. That changes people. When I'm in the classroom, they're walking in the hallway, I get a kid that meets me in the hallway, and you know how kids are, they're not talking. Well, of course, hey, how you doing? I don't know the kid. But at least I'm sure my daughter's the same way, because she's obnoxious like I am sometimes. Sorry. Thrown under the bus. It's in your DNA. So, you know, we don't have to be the fuddy-duddies. We can have fun, and then all of a sudden people say, what makes them so fun? I know life's hard, but I see a joy. I see a peace. I see a hope. I know life's been hard. Life's been hard. But there's a fire inside of us. There's a fire down deep. There's a TDC. There's a trust to like commit that surpasses all understanding. It surpasses it all. This is fun. So when I believe those things, you know, when I believe those things, there's no place for that old enemy. Because he can't tell me nothing. Because the Word says, I live by the bread alone. On the every word that comes out of his mouth. The thing we have to figure out is how we hear that soft, still voice. We've got a recipe for success. Can we do it? Easy. Under his protection, under his umbrella, under his covering. Might be hard, but it's the easiest thing you'll ever do. Because not only do I have people that help sacrifice for me and get me that timely hit, step into the moment when they need to, I've got great teammates. So I guess to finish up a little bit, we just need to understand we've got all we need. She had oil, she had water, she had flour, she had all she needed, but yet she thought she was going to die. But then when Elisha comes on the scene and brings that fire, when that fire gets to the house, things change. Things change. She was no longer an outcast. It's not easy, but it's easy. Some days are hard, but it's easy. When you go to the source, when you keep your fire lit, it's hard some days, but it's easy. And so I think I'm done, Sid. I'm done. If you have anything you want to add.
Let's stand to our feet. One thing that I love about the story of the widow of Zarephath is what we tend to want God to do is when we're down to our last little bit, we want Him to fill our storehouse. And then we'll do inventory, Brother Keith, and then we'll figure out how long that's going to last me. And God doesn't do that. He didn't do it with her. As she took the last little bit of flour and the last little bit of oil, and she prepared a meal for Elijah, I believe she went back to prepare the next meal, and there wasn't 10 times as much flour and 10 times as much oil. There was enough for another meal. And so she used that. And we think that God's going to come into our life and just fill our warehouses full of all of these ingredients. And what we've got to realize, the beauty of a river is it's not a reservoir. To me, rivers are much more beautiful than lakes. Lakes are okay. But the beauty of we want God to be a reservoir in our life, and God says, man, I want to be a river where I come in. And when you find yourself in a moment, then my grace will be sufficient. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you everything you need for that moment. And so that's what we've got to do, is we've got the key to success in all this is do what's in front of you. Do what's in front of you. And if it's ministering to a kid in the hall, if it's adopting a six-year-old son, if it's being kind to somebody that's struggling in the program, you know, just do what's in front of you. And as you do that, I promise God's going to replenish. You say, man, I am empty. I don't have enough. God says, release it and I'll replenish it. Just like a river. It's like when I'm standing in a river fishing, I'm never standing in the same water. Because it's constantly moving. And that's the way God's grace is. His sufficiency is. It's constantly moving. It's constantly new. And it's constantly enough. So, don't be afraid to pour out. Don't be afraid to pour out. Because you got what it takes. You know, so because it's Him in you. As always, guys, the altar's open. I encourage you to come down and take communion with the Lord. And, you know, it's the testimony of Jesus. And it's our yes to Him and our yes to that. So let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank You for tonight. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to come to Your house and to worship You by studying Your Word and by fellowshipping together. And Lord, I thank You for Lisa. I thank You for her heart and her desire to be a daughter of Zion, to be a mighty woman in You. And I thank You for that. I thank You for what You have set in motion in her life and the things that You've imparted into her. And I thank You for her willingness to be a vessel that's used by You. And just bless her for coming and ministering tonight. Bless her and her pursuit. I pray that this word would go deep in each of us and that You just do a deep work in our lives, Lord, so that our lives would just glorify You. And once again, we thank You for this time. We thank You for You. We thank You for being who You are. And Lord, we just love You. We adore You. And we place all our hope in You tonight. Amen and amen.